Welcome to Forged in the Fires podcast with Fireman Rob. Being a fireman, father, veteran, husband, world record holder, and Ironman, he brings stories of experience to impact your life while challenging you to live it. What do you want from your life? Why do you want it? Are you willing to go through the challenges to get there? If you have the courage to take that first step, let this podcast be the catalyst to start your fire
while you bring the resilience to make it continue to burn.
Our lives are made up of moments called right nows. So let's get started. Forged in the Fires podcast with your host, Fireman Rob, begins now.
We got the same blood.
Welcome back to Forged in the Fires podcast. I'm your host, Fireman Rob. Now, today's guest, I could actually take up the whole time just telling you how amazing this gentleman is and how many things he's went through. He is the co-founder of Sports One Marketing. He was the former CEO of a company called Lee Steinberg Sports and Entertainment Agency. And you may actually be familiar with this because that was the inspiration behind the movie Jerry Maguire. Now, he doesn't just do that. He is on a mission to empower over 1 billion people to be happy. My guest today, Dave Meltzer. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing amazing. Better now that I'm here with you, Fireman Rob.
Wow. Now I feel special. I mean, reading your backstory and, you know, from your 20s becoming a millionaire and then losing it, but then at the same point coming back and saying, you know what, I need to find how I made myself successful and how I can continue to help others to do that. Tell me more about your mission to help a billion people be happy.
Well, first of all, don't limit me. It's over a billion people to be happy.
I like that.
Too many people limit themselves. And, you know, just as a little background, you know, I've always been a happy person, but I've never realized how valuable the happiness was. And I was misguided on how to achieve happiness. I used to think that money could buy happiness and love, but later learned in my life that, you know, money itself only allows you to shop. And if you shop for the right things, you'll be happy. If you shop for things you don't need or to impress people you don't like I did, you'll end up miserable, alone, and shallow. But moreover, for me, happiness, you know, in that pursuit of it really became the paradigm of my entire life because I realized that happiness was not something to pursue, but it was the pursuit to enjoy the consistent, everyday, persistent without quit pursuit of your own potential. Not what other people want for you, not what you don't want for yourself or what's missing in your life, because you'll end up being right. If that's what you're pursuing. But more importantly, pursuing your potential, your truth. And beyond that, the importance of happiness, what I learned through my journey was that how many people in the world were not happy, and how many people in the world, you know, were taking their own lives out of anxiety, depression, and just simply being unhappy. And so I decided that if I could create a collective consciousness, which I thought and still do, will take about a billion or more people to, you know, create a collective consciousness of light, love, and happiness to, you know, utilize the universe as an abundant place, not as a scarce one where there's not enough of anything, where you live in a world of why me and blame, shame, and justification, or even the for me world that I lived in when I was a millionaire. Everything's for me, you know, buying things I don't need, giving things as an acknowledgement or a recognition, a trade, or, you know, some sort of negotiation to give to receive. Instead, I want to encourage everyone to learn 4 key values, 5 daily practices to effectuate happiness, to live in a world of more than enough, to give your life away, to allow things not to happen to you or for you, but through you for others.
I love that message. And, you know, the biggest thing that I saw is that incredible journey. You know, it provides you with one thing, and the value. And I love that message of value because it's individual. It's something that person has to find. And, you know, going through a lot of your stuff, I look at the 4 key values of gratitude, empathy, accountability, and inspiration. Tell me more about why you chose those as your 4 key values.
Well, my wife forced my recognition of those 4 values when she was leaving me. I was such an idiot. She told me I better take stock in who I was and what it had become, or not only was she leaving, but she thought I'd end up dead. And so for me, I really delved into, number one, how can I change my perspective, my mindset? And gratitude was the solution. Gratitude allowed me to learn to love everything I did. It allowed me to find the light, the love, and the lessons in everything I did. Gratitude itself was perspective. And what better way to control my mindset than through gratitude? The second one was the peace. I lived such a chaotic life. You know, I ran the most notable sports agency in the world. I was surrounded by the wrong people and the wrong ideas. I was partying way too much. Like I said, buying the wrong things, buying things I didn't need, living in the ego-based consciousness. And forgiveness allowed me to live in peace. It also, in life, gave me more certainty. When I realized, as I was striving to forgive the unforgivable, to live an unconditional life without judgments and conditions, I started to realize how important forgiveness was, and not only what peace it gave me, but the certainty, which then led to statistical success. And then beyond the certainty of forgiveness and the peace that it gave me, accountability gave me control. You know, most people feel, especially now, there's so much uncertainty, control, the world is chaotic. But for me, accountability gave me complete control because I took accountability, not liability. Liability, you know, there's still damages that people can pay me according to the laws of the land. But for me, accountability is way bigger. It's what did I do to attract this to my life, and what am I supposed to learn from it? When you live a life of accountability above the line, not in the life of liability, of blame, shame, and justification, you have complete control of the universe around you, of all the accelerated change, growth, and compound interest that you can receive by acknowledging the accountability that you have in your place and everything in the oneness. And then finally, inspiration stemmed from the original thought of effective communication. And original thought, you know, 15 years ago was I need to communicate with my wife better, my business partners better, my community better. But what it realized was stop looking that way and look instead to what I'm connected to.
Right.
So that I then can connect through to all those important people. And so I shifted my perspective, my forgiveness and accountability to what I was always connected to. I used to look at those big mountains in front of me and get on as a challenge and say, I can overcome this undersell it. I can do all these things. I can beat this thing. And then when I realized what walked with me, what was inside of me, the amount of power, light, and lessons that I already possessed, I was walking with the power that made the mountains. Why was I worried about the mountain? So I shifted my perspective to inspiration, in spirit, connected through to everything else, the oneness of the universe, the unconditional abundance of living for an instant of a second, for an instant between limitlessness and infinity. And that's where I live, in the infinity of time, the infinity of space, the infinity of potential and love and light and lessons.
I love that. And I'd be remiss not to say that over the past 20 years, you've been giving more free trainings than anybody else, empowering others to empower themselves. So if anybody wants to go and do that, they can go to dmeltzer. It's meltzer.com/training and find out all the wealth of knowledge that you have, as well as the passion. I can sense the passion through the microphone that you have in being able to empower others. And the other quote that I love that you have is, stop calling it a sacrifice and start calling it an investment in yourself. How did you switch from that mindset of going, you know, when you went into bankruptcy, when you were kind of in that different thing, what were a few things that switched that mindset besides your wife? Yeah. what were a few things that helped you to switch that? Because I think a lot of people look at that and go, gosh, how did he do that? And go right back to where he was, but at a higher consciousness.
You know, it took three different things. One, I kept telling myself, you know, I lost over $100 million. So it wasn't just a couple pennies dropped.
That's a few zeros.
Yeah. It took a little bit of time to lose that money. But through that process, I started realizing, let's concentrate on five different things that will allow me to be happy where I'm at, to allow me to believe that I'm at the right place at the perfect time. Let me focus in on five different daily practices that will allow me not only to be happy where I'm at, but also to angle in that enjoyment of the consistent, persistent pursuit of my potential towards what I want. So have a pursuit, knowing that happiness is not something I'm pursuing, but happiness is the pursuit. And then finally, most importantly, and this was, you know, the result of the catalytic statements and actions of my wife, is I need to have faith. You know, enough of living in control and having, you know, my own objectivity, my own judgments and conditions define who I am, especially my bank account. But instead, I'm going to live in a faith that I'm going to end up somewhere better. And when you have faith that you're going to end up somewhere better, and I use five daily practices of finding my what, finding the who has the what, finding the how by being a student or paying attention to or giving attention to the coincidences in your luck, in your life, which is, by the way, what I call the definition of luck: intention plus intention equals coincidence. And then find the what, the who, the how. Now is the fourth step. In other words, be present, do things now. And then finally, practice ending fear. Spend minutes and moments in ego-based consciousness every day, not weeks, months, years, and lifetimes in that void, shortage, and obstacle of the ego, causing the need to be right, offended, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, things like that. You need to work on these five daily practices so that you can be happy where you're at the right way at the perfect time, have the clearest and most balanced projection and trajectory of angling to what you want, and most importantly, blending it with faith that no matter what happens, I'm going to end up better than where I'm at. Meaning, if you look at things as sacrifice, that's the admission that you're not going to end up somewhere better. Because if you're sacrificing, you're losing it, which means you're not going to end up somewhere better. When I could shift my paradigm and my perspective to faithful perspective that no matter what was happening, I'd find the light, the love, and the lesson in it. I'm angling to something, but I'm going to end up somewhere better. So even when I lost $100 million, I said to myself, oh, awesome. I've just made an investment of $100 million. That means I got two, three, four, or at least $500 million coming my way.
There you go.
Because I'm guaranteed to end up somewhere better because I have faith what comes through me for others. I have faith what I'm connected to and through and from at all times.
I love that. And, you know, one of the books that you wrote, Game Time Decision Making, is a great indicator of positioning yourself for success. That book, I love the tactic. I love the name of it because it truly is, you know, life is a game time. Every single day you have to show up. I tell my son that all the time when he plays hockey. It's like, you don't get a time off on the ice. You don't get time off in life. Tell me more about that book, Game Time Decision Making. What was the basis of that?
Yeah, so McGraw-Hill approached me to do a sports book. And you know me, I love the fact that I ran the most notable sports agency in the world. I love the fact that I had the biggest marketing and media company with Warren Moon in sports space, working with the biggest events like Super Bowl, Pro Bowl, Masters, Kentucky Derby, Breeders' Cup, ESPYs, Emmys, Oscars, Grammys. I love all that. I love it.
You missed the Nickelodeon Awards.
Yeah.
You didn't have those?
That's the toughest ticket. That's like the Academy Awards, man.
Oh, okay. You
know, that got to be – I had the last row seat with Warren's family with my girls, and they're like, Dad, couldn't you do any better? I'm like, back to the back cabins at the Masters, but when you're looking with the most powerful people in Hollywood whose kids want to go to something, you're last on the list. I digress. But more importantly, you know, where that led me was McGraw-Hill. I said, not a problem. I can do a sports book. But I took the Jerry Maguire perspective of a sports book. See, Jerry Maguire used sports as a backdrop. Right, because Jerry Maguire is such a great movie because, number one, it has extraordinary writing from Cameron Crowe, and, you know, there's more one-liners in that movie than any other movie I've ever watched. But it uses sports as a backdrop to have a love story. You know, they fooled all the guys and gals out there to watching the movie, and it was a love story that had the backdrop of sports. It's not a sports movie, but people consider it one of the best sports movies of all time. It's actually one of the greatest love stories of all time. And what makes it interesting is that's what Game Time Decision is. It uses sports as a backdrop to be happy. So what I did is I took a pregame analysis of a lesson to be happy. I told sports stories to teach those lessons how to be happy. Then I did a post-game analysis to describe those lessons and how to implement them in your life using sports as a backdrop and analogous towards everything that I taught, because people love sports. And that backdrop allows people to share in the experience and the story, to have credibility, emotional attachment, but most importantly, to provide quantitative value for the reasons we want to make these decisions in this way, the impact that making the right decisions align with your inventory of values in that way, and the capabilities that you have to make those decisions to pursue your potential every day without quit.
See, I love that analogy of that, as well as, you know, to be a great leader, you have to be able to put your, in essence, your goals and your vision in a language that people can understand, whether they're the top CEO or they're the frontline worker who's putting that first widget into the bigger cogs. How important have you seen that in your businesses, that that language is not just for a C-suite member, but it's transitioned throughout the whole company, that kind of purpose, passion? How important is that?
Oh my gosh. You know, ever since I went to law school, I saw the importance of transcoding, of speaking people and understanding frequency of vibration, of people being able to tune in. Even Lou Holtz, who's one of my favorite football coaches from Notre Dame, one of his best quotes ever, his best, it's not what you say, it's what they hear.
Oh, wow.
Right? And so we need to talk at a frequency that people can understand. And so I'm constantly trying to vibrationally and frequency-wise transcode highly complex, sophisticated thoughts into simplistic, pragmatic, organized communication that the mass can understand. The mass, at least I can plant a seed. Like Dennis Waitley said, you know, plant a seed under trees you'll never sit under. I'm hoping that my transcribing and transporting and transcoding of highly complex energies and frequencies and ideas and words into a vibration or frequency that more people are motivated or at least resonates with, that they do hear me. And if they don't hear me and agree with it, at least it's planting a seed under a tree that someday will grow, even though I won't see it.
I love that. And, you know, listening to you, I think there's a lot of people that are like, you know, I want to have more information. And if you want to email David directly to register for the training or get his book, go to email him at david@dmeltzer. It's MELTZER.com to find out more. You know, I want to get to the last three questions. I ask the same three questions to all my guests. I love it because it gives people a little perspective into your life. And I don't give it to you ahead of time because, you know, I like to make people sweat a little bit. So, all right, here's the first question for you. All right. What would be the one big suggestion or advice that you would give yourself at 18 years old?
That's easy. Radical humility. Ask for help. I would tell myself at 18, 28, 38, and 48, please ask for help. Find someone that sits in the situation that you want to be in. The easiest way to get to where you want to be is to ask someone that's already there directions. Be humble. Ask for help. I know you want to give. Everybody wants to give, but make sure you ask for help. You can't give what you don't have. You need to receive.
I love that advice, and that's one that I'm going to make my kids listen to. Second one, here it is. With the hard times that people are going through and the challenges that people are going through, and you had touched on this earlier with some habits that you have, what are two habits, like either in the AM or the PM, that you would say you want people right now to incorporate into their lives to make their life potential actually become reality?
Two easy ones. One takes 0.1 seconds. That's say thank you before you go to bed and when you wake up. If you say thank you before you go to bed and when you wake up for 30 straight days, your life will change for the better. You will open up a world of expansion, of abundance that you've never imagined. The second one is to be a student. Now, I'm not talking about school, because that's making everybody cringe, including me.
Right.
I'm talking about being a student and the effect of pay attention to and give intention to the coincidences you want. Utilize your calendar. That's my favorite place. I'm a student of my calendar. I yep. study the activity I get paid for, I don't get paid for. I study what I planned, I don't have planned. I even study my sleep. I always tell people my tomorrow starts today. So I have an unwinding routine that starts at 9 p.m. tonight, and that's the start of my day tomorrow. And oh, so be a student and say thank you. I know it's funny because, you know, you've asked me three things, which is so funny, for best advice I have, basically. And all three of those things I learned before I was 3 years old. I was taught to say thank you. I was taught to be a student.
Oh, my gosh.
I was taught to ask. So so be thankful, ask, and be a student.
It's crazy. You go back to the roots of who you are. And as an adult, we overthink things.
Yeah, all the time.
All the time. All right, the last question. This is a fun one because we get answers all over the board. So being a firefighter, I want to ask you, if you had the chance to have coffee with three people, they can be deceased or alive, at a firehouse table. So in other words, you can ask them anything. The conversation can go anywhere. Who would they be and why?
Oh, first, Jesus.
I like that.
It's easy because – and. I will tell you because one, I just want, you know, so many people in the world are divided by this man. Mm-hmm. And that's his complete antithesis of what I think the purpose of him was. So I'd love to ask him the truth so I could share the truth directly from the horse's mouth.
I love it. You think he'd have a lot of coffee?
Probably.
I don't know if he'd be a coffee drinker.
I just want to ask him the truth, and I think I could heal a lot of the world with sitting down with him. I'd like to sit with Einstein, and I'd like to ask him about relativity and time to answer the questions that I believe can help understand dimension and relativity with the construct of what I study every single day to be with what I think is one of the greatest minds that have ever walked the earth, especially concerning the things that I'm interested in. And then the other one would be Wayne Dyer, a little bit different than most people. I was supposed to meet with him the week after he passed away. I had studied Wayne Dyer every single day. It was a toss up between Napoleon Hill and Wayne Dyer. and so I just, only because I study both of those people and their content so much, I have more questions of those two people than anyone else. So Einstein, Jesus, Wayne Dyer, and Napoleon Hill would be the three people.
I love that. That's an eclectic group right there.
Yeah, it is.
Well, if anybody wants to come, go to his free training sessions, he has weekly training sessions, go to dmeltzer, it's meltzer.com/training. Or you know what? David has been so nice and said, hey, just email me directly at david@dmeltzer.com. It has been a pleasure and an honor to have you on today, sir.
Thank you so much, Fireman Rob. Almost got through without the dog barking.
Oh, that's okay. Having a dog barking makes it all real. I love it. Well, thanks for joining us today on the Forged in the Fires podcast. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening and supporting the Forged in the Fires podcast with Fireman Rob. Remember, don't forget to like and subscribe to this podcast, and please share this episode with a friend or family. To find out more about Fireman Rob or reach out about a question, go to www.firemanrob.com. Until next time, live your life forged in the fires.